If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46, Lesson 8, in challenging lessons of the Psalms, is to talk about reasonable or unreasonable fear. Reasonable or unreasonable fear. Now, all of us have fears, don't we? I mean, there's something, everybody in this room, there's something you're afraid of, surely. There is in my life. I think there probably is in your life. Snakes for the pastor. Fear of snakes. But fear can be a debilitating thing. It can actually stop you in your tracks in your life. You can get to the place where if this fear consumes you, nothing else is important. You can only think on that one thing. Well, I want to read to you a few quotes from people throughout times who have given some great statements about fear. First of all, the most destructive element in the human mind is fear. Fear creates aggressiveness. Don't forget that. It does. Then, too many people are thinking of security instead of opportunity. They seem to be more afraid of life than death. If you're distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. I really like this next one. They're always best when they're from an unknown person. Never be afraid to try something new. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. And then Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a favorite writer of mine. It has been said that our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength. Fears. What kind of fear do you deal with? The psalmist talked about dealing with fears, but, you know, what do you deal with? I mean, our world has list after list of different phobias. And, of course, most of them you can't spell or pronounce. But they're real to people. You see, a phobia is an irrational fear of something that most people are not afraid of. Now, notice, a phobia is an irrational fear. It doesn't mean it's not rational to you, but to the majority of people, it would be something they are not afraid of, such as spiders or crowds, small spaces, flying, those kinds of things. Phobias affect 4% of men and 13% of women. Now, there are all kinds of phobias. I mean, I was thinking about these. Just want to name a few to you here in a moment. But, you know, like bibliophobia. Any of you have that fear? Bibliophobia? There's some on our staff that have this fear. It's the fear of books. I won't point toward anyone, Mike Breland, but... There are some who have fear of books, and we have fun with that around here. Then there's a fear of going to school. Any of you have that? I can't even pronounce that one. Now, this is one, ecclesiophobia, the fear of church. A lot of people have that tonight. You know, they were okay this morning, but... they're afraid of it in the evenings. You know, when the sun goes down, you can't do that. Then there's a few on our staff that have fear of fish. Ronnie. There's the fear of washing or bathing. There's the fear of sourness. There's a fear of chickens. There's a fear of the United States. There's a fear of looking up. There's a fear of flowers. There's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I'm serious. Now, I did make one up based on this weekend. It's Auburn phobia. It's the fear of the Auburn Tigers. Well, that went over like a lead balloon with the Alabama people. But, you know, as soon as Alabama wins, then we can have Alabama phobia. Of course, it's been 4 years, but, you know, I don't know how much longer it'll be. Well, I want you to look at the screens, and I just put a list up here of different phobias the world has. We're still in the A's. You read fast. Okay. Did you find anything you were afraid of? You know, it's humorous when you look at those, even though some of those are very real to some people. But understand, yours may not be as... I think the number one I heard when it went up on the screen, I heard fear of ugliness. You know, y'all really caught that one. But that may not be your issue, but isn't it true that you have times when you become afraid of something in life and you can't function like you should? And you know you should turn to God. You know that's the truth, but how do you do that? Well, look at Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Now just think about that for a moment. How powerful is that? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be moved. That's pretty significant. Even though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love does what? Cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now there is a difference between reasonable fear and an unreasonable fear. It is reasonable to have a fear when someone is chasing you down an alley at night they have a knife in their hand and they're crying out to you, they're going to kill you if they can catch you. That's reasonable fear. But if you had that experience 30 years ago, and today you're afraid to go out of your house after dark for any reason because somebody else might chase you down an alley with a knife, it has become unreasonable fear. There is a time when grief is so real, just as we heard the pastor tonight talking about the grieving over losing a significant person in your life. That there is a reasonable time to grieve. Now, if 2 years later, the grief of the loss of a loved one has so consumed your mind and heart that you can't function properly, it has become unreasonable. So there is a time for reasonable fear, and there is a time for us to get right with God. You see, the psalmist here was saying, because God is our refuge and He is our strength, we will not fear. Now, how many of you, though, you know God is your refuge and you know He is your strength? There have been times when you have been shut down by fear. And you could say in your mind, I know I shouldn't be worried and fearful about what may happen in this situation, but I can't seem to get over it. And what has happened, that fear has begun to dominate your heart and mind to the point that while you can read this psalm, God is our refuge and strength, you practically can't see that He really is that strong. Because if you really believed He were that strong and present in time of need, it would help deal with the unreasonable fear. That passage in 1 John is an interesting one to me. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, if perfect love will cast out fear, guess what brings fear on? Hatred. If perfect love can cast out fear, hatred brings on fear. We see that even in the midst of a fearful situation, you have to determine, why am I so afraid? One of the writers that I read a quote from says, fear produces aggressiveness. You see, that's our reaction. When you're afraid of something, you go to defense. You've got to fight. Or flight, as the psychologist would say, when fear comes. You've got to either face it or run from it. And so when you're afraid of a situation, you're either going to run from it or you're going to get aggressive toward it. And many times, people in the midst of their fear, fear of failure, fear of someone not liking them, fear of losing their job, fear of what's going to happen if this person says this or that one takes this action. Whatever the fear may be that's coming up in your mind, if you're not careful, as that fear begins, you will get aggressive toward the person who you think is connected with the problem. Real often, and I learned this from my mentor, but I have used it practically for many years now, I have had people come to my office for time to talk about a problem in their life, and we take the scriptures and open the scriptures and try to help them deal with those issues. But many times a person will come and say something like this, Carrie, I have become so afraid of this certain situation, I'm going to lose my job if I don't deal with this. And my first question I ask is, who are you mad at? And they look at me like, what do you mean, who am I mad at? I'm talking to you about I have a fear. I'll never forget, a man came to our home one time, and he happened to lead a major ministry for a three-state area. And he came to me because he said, Kerry, I am so troubled. I have to travel all the time, and I have to be alone. And I've gotten to where I'm so afraid to be alone, I can't travel and spend the night somewhere in another city by myself. I am so afraid to be alone. And he said, if I don't deal with this, I'm going to lose my job. And I said, well, who are you mad at? And he looked at me like, what do you mean, who am I mad at? And I said, well, who have you never forgiven? He said, nobody I can think of, you know. I came to talk to you about losing my job and being afraid of being alone. And I said, well, tell me, when was the first time you discovered this? He said, well, I was driving to another state where I was going to train some of the workers in that state. And on my drive to this other state, I had an appendicitis attack while I was driving the car. And he said, I drove to the nearest hospital, and as they were taking me in, my appendix ruptured. And he said, they performed the surgery, and I was so sick. He said, I was in the hospital for 7 days. And he said, after I got out of the hospital, I stayed in a hotel room by myself for another 7 days before I could travel home. And I asked him, I said, well, tell me, which of your family members came to help you during that time you were in the hospital or in the hotel room? He said, none of them. I said, well, what about your work associates, all those people you had come to train in that state? Did they come and help you? He said, none of them. I said, so you're mad at your family and your work associates for not coming to help you when you were in such distress? He said, yes, I am. Just like that. And I said to him, the scripture says perfect love. Now, this is not your ability as a human being to love. This is not your acting ability here. Perfect love is God Himself, present in time of need. He's a refuge and a strength when you don't know what else to do. And if you'll turn to this perfect love and ask Him to empower you with His perfect love and to take away your hatred and your unforgiveness to these people, even though they didn't take care of you, I believe God will restore you. So we got on our knees there in our living room and we prayed. And he confessed to the Lord, Lord, I have been angry and unforgiving for these 2 years now, and it's caught up with me. And I want to get rid of it. Would you cleanse me? And God, would you give me a perfect love toward those people? What do you think God did? He restored him. He came back to me the next week. He said, Kerry, I had to go out of town this week. I was all alone. I was gone for 3 nights. I had no problems. Now, maybe it's not always that simple, but I will tell you, I've met with many people, and that has been the case. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you have a perfect love toward people, you don't fear people. You're not afraid to be with them. You're willing to let God's love flow through you in the midst of a difficult situation. If you're not careful, a fear that has developed in your life, instead of turning to the God of refuge and strength in time of need, you will turn to your aggressiveness. And that aggressiveness will get you in trouble. There was a story about Martin Luther, 1529. He wrote a song, a hymn. It's been stated as the greatest hymn of the greatest man of the greatest period of German history. And it's been stated as the battle hymn of the Reformation. Some of you know this hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." In 1720, a remarkable revival began in the town of Moravia. In fact, among the Moravians, when revival happened among those people for the next 100 years, they had continuous prayer 24 hours a day, someone in their group praying every hour of every day for the next 100 years. The Moravians, in that great revival, became the largest sending missionary body in the history of the world. Understand, they were only a little over 100 people. And God did a great work through them. But in 1720, in that town of Moravia, a revival began. And there was a religious group that opposed it. And the meetings they were holding were prohibited. And those who were still assembled were seized and imprisoned in stables and cellars. And at one house, there were 150 persons gathered there. The police broke in, seized the books that they had, and told them they couldn't meet. And the congregation broke out into singing, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." And here's one of the verses. "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed His truth to triumph through us." You see, God can become a mighty fortress in your life. In the midst of fear that has become unreasonable, He can give you strength. He can be your refuge. He can build a mighty tower around you to protect you. So why fear? That's a simple question for me to ask, because I know I have fears, and most of you do. But when you read the psalmist, why should we fear? In fact, he says, we will not fear. Why? We understand the awesome power of God to live His life out through our life and enable us to go through whatever is coming against us. So I want to ask you to bow your heads and let's contemplate that for just a moment. Is there a situation going on in your life where you need to understand that God is a refuge and He's your strength? It may not be a quick process for you to deal with it, though for some it may. But if the Lord surfaced something in your heart tonight, in your mind, that's become a fear and it's disabling you to be who you need to be in Christ, just confess that to Him. Ask Him to cleanse you of it. Ask Him to empower you. By being perfect love in your life.